Okay, it's 7 p.m. Steve's late. So, I will, I don't know if he sent a text. I told him about that. Missed call. Oh. I wonder what he's wanting to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do I hear a motion to call the meeting to order?
Make a motion to call the meeting to order.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. If you all stand and recite the pledge, please, and then we'll move to the room. He got his hat off.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's take a moment in silent prayer, please. Citizens' participation. Do we have anybody in the audience? I think everybody in the audience knows who's up here. I don't see any really new faces. Is there anybody that's got anything that they want to bring up at the beginning of the meeting here? Good, we can move right along. All right, the December 17th, 2019 city meeting minutes were distributed. Was there any other corrections that were made to it that we put in that we need to know about? Do I hear a motion to accept the minutes?
Motion to accept.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Bedell. Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Can you hear me okay, Harry? Commissioner Hall is silent again. I have to be right back.
Yeah, sorry, Mayor. I said aye.
I know. I saw you mouth it, but I think there's a time limit on how long we can be silent on that software. All right. So we got another vote on the minutes. The city financial reports were distributed. And again, another good month of it matched to the penny. So do I hear any objections or any questions or anything on the financials? Do I hear a motion to accept the financial reports?
I move that we accept the financial reports.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Do I hear a second?
A second.
All right, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
All right. Unanimous again. All right. Invoices and receipts. I'm going through them right now, so. Is there were there any questions on the expense report? All right, since we get signatures on all of it, I'm going to move along because they'll pass. Were you okay with everything on there, Commissioner Hall?
Yeah, I mean, except for the things I was asking about on that billing.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not sure anybody completely understands that.
I don't think anybody does, and hasn't for as long as we've had the utilities. Okay, the city attorney must be running late, so we'll move along to old business until Steve gets here. I'm assuming he's showing up. Is there any old items? And the first thing I've got on here is street lighting.
Well, Beth has got the, you signed the contract for the new street lights. Beth, I assume, has made out the text. And
right.
As soon as we get, if we get Mr. Pettaway on Maxwell Court, if we get his hidden hazard form back saying that he doesn't have any hidden hazards in his yard, like sprinklers or anything like that, then she'll send all that to LG&E for lighting, and they'll go ahead and start with installing the lights. LG&E will check for hidden hazards, even though they have the letter saying no, we don't have anything. They'll check to be sure. So I asked Bev if we don't have his letter by Friday, and it's been a couple of months since we sent him out, so we don't have it by Friday, she's going to go ahead and send the check and the contract in.
Remember, we even sent it certified mail last week.
Yes, you did.
And we still haven't heard from him.
And so, I did ask her to send it certified this time, so rather than just hold up that project and hold it up and hold it up, we already have his permission to access his property. So, and LG&E will check for hidden hazards anyway. So, we're just going to go ahead and move along with it. And the new lights that will be put in, we were going to get 10, but we couldn't get permission from a lot of the residents. They didn't want us coming across their property unless we would unless we paid them to do it. And we said we're not going to pay people to access their property for a street light that's going to help them. And so we got down to six, just six lights. But those six will make a difference.
Yeah.
And we did some of them.
Is that going to change our increase in our monthly bill?
$127.
Okay, so it's went down about 50.
Yeah, $127. Okay. And those will be, the fixture will look like the other fixtures, but the bulbs will be LEDs. So.
Okay,
good.
Well, while we're talking about lights, I know that the entrance, that there's been a problem. Is that on schedule to get fixed so we can have the sign lighted?
That's part of property maintenance. He's working on projects for us to do coming this spring.
Okay. That'd be awesome.
But those are that system is hooked into the, it's a part of our electrical service. It's not an LG&E issue. It's our electrical utilities for that place. There's a meter up on the opposite side of Westport Road behind that bush that they have to read.
On the side of
on our side of the bush.
Okay.
Okay, on our side of the sign.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a meter back behind that bush that operates.
Honestly, I was coming in the subdivision the other night. It was raining and dark, and just even having a spotlight on the sign would really help. I know there's streetlights there, but it would just really help. We just brighten it, and people let people know who we are.
Did we lose you again?
Because if you call somebody to come into warning, and he also wouldn't know where to turn.
He said he cannot see that sign at all at night.
I agree with
you. Have a life there.
Well, I agree with her.
Well, somebody hit the light, and once they hit the light, they the power source, what comes up out of the conduit, no one had that on because we don't know if that is active or is hot on the conduit. The last thing we want to do is have it come on at night, and then, or even during day, because they're photoelectric cell control on the lights. You have that, if you have the electrical in there and the conduits connected to that, you've got a hot conduit coming out of there.
So is that something an electrician needs to look at? Or?
Yeah, the electrician's going to have to do it.
Okay.
Okay, but we're looking at, Harold's looking at, Commissioner Hall's looking at getting a different type of lights in there so that they're less expensive to operate. And they look better. So there's a lot of stuff that he's working on and going to product. When are you going to present that, Commissioner Harold? Next month?
Tonight.
Oh, you got tonight. Good.
Oh, good. Okay.
All right.
You also talked about putting a big rock there so they hit a rock instead of a light.
Oh, you're talking about... Oh, you're... Yeah, a big rock in the center of the front island.
I could use a rock if you could figure out how to get it off my trailer.
Well,
I mean, I don't get the rock. I can get it put on the trailer. I don't think they get it off.
You did a good job on those yellow.
Yeah.
Well, I watched the fire truck trying to turn in coming this way on Westport Road into our subdivision to the right.
Right.
He hardly was able to turn. That's probably why those bricks are coming out of there.
Oh, yeah. I always said it was people taking and cutting the corner.
Mm-hmm. It's not just people cutting the corner. He was out in the main part of the street trying to turn me in. You take a big truck and a big fire truck or a big ambulance, they're going to have a hard time turning mm-hmm. right into
right.
the street.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
And honestly, the other night when it became dark, I didn't hit the curb, but it was like, come on.
I've said it since the...
I know. We didn't put the island in. We have an island up there. And you can drive a big truck around that because they bring them school buses in every morning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a proper way of making a left-hand turn, and it's drive up and then around, okay? So, I won't get into driving instructions tonight, but
yeah.
Okay. The projects for the events. Let me just get the egg hunt out of the way, okay? Because I want to try and get somebody involved in this. I need to get it up on the website. We need to have a day, okay? And I've got the three listed. The reason why I circled the 18th is the 18th is the kickoff of Derby festivities. Okay? The 11th is the day before Easter, and the 4th is the day before Palm Sunday. And I personally would prefer the 18th because I think it would be, it's later in the month. We're less likely to have snow. Because we're still at the end of March on the 4th, and the day before Easter is some people might associate it with the Christian event. So I thought that might be best we start doing it on the Saturday of Thunder before you go down. You know, they start the festivities down on the Flibwall or down at the river at 3 o'clock with the air show. So if we do it in the morning, say between 10 and 12, you know, they still got time to get down to the air show in a reasonable amount of time. So,
people go down to Thunder early.
Well, I know they go down to Thunder early, but the adults go down. I don't really care what the date is. I just think we need to do it.
And the 18th is after Easter?
18th is the Sunday, or the Saturday after Easter.
Yes, but it's Thunder Day. And you have to think about the people that will be helping with the, you know,
just pick a day.
Yeah.
Just pick a day.
I think you should do it for the 4th or the 11th.
The Saturday before
Palm Sunday or the Saturday before Easter.
Yeah.
Why would we want an Easter egg hunt after Easter?
I didn't say it was an Easter egg hunt. I said it was an egg hunt.
Well, same thing.
Yeah,
same thing. Just leave an Easter off.
I'm just trying to be politically correct, you know. I don't want the ACLU down on my back.
That's the reason
and
for
early.
The season. It's Easter.
Yeah. Do you want to do it the 4th? We can set it up for the 4th, and if it doesn't,
I think the 11th would be a good day to have it for Easter. The day before Easter, the day before Palm Sunday.
The day before Palm Sunday is the 4th, and the day before Easter is the 11th.
I don't really care. We just need to make a date and stick with it.
Well, to be honest with you, if you do it before, it might be before you mow the grass, and the grass is a little deeper to hide the eggs in.
Yeah.
If you do it, a lot of people may be out of town for Easter.
Yes, that's true. Or grandparents coming in, or that type of thing. I think before.
All right. How many want the 4th? Raise your hand. Okay. Do I hear a hand back there?
No.
Okay. How many want to do it the 11th? All right. Not the 11th. Oh, I got an 11th over here. And how about the 18th? All right. All right. So, do I hear a motion for April 4th?
I make the motion that we have the egg hunt on April 4th.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Bedell. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? All right. I guess it's unanimous. It's April 4th.
Mark
your calendars. I'm about to put it on the website and beg for a committee, okay? It can't be that difficult. We've already got the eggs. It's just a matter of getting them filled and then taking a pellet case and dumping them as you go out. You know, it can't be that difficult.
Do you think Millie would feel like being on a committee? She's so good and crazy.
All right, we're going to move along. I see that somebody brought an easel.
Yes.
And I think this is what you brought it for.
Can we move this out of the way so I don't come back?
Okay, I met with two friends of mine who have experience in organizing, and now one of them is very, very involved with the National Guard. So when the troops go out, they have all the families there, they have all kinds of food, activities for the kids, and they get all of their food donated just because it's the troops. So, but she is really involved in it. In fact, she said, Carol, if you really need some little prizes, I will share some of the prizes. So we can think maybe 50 prizes for kids with the Easter egg hunt can come, but we'll talk about that. The other one, she is involved in a small city in the lower Highlands, and they have a open space, they have a real nice park with electricity. She said that's a big deal. And so I did the activities first. They were throwing them out. So they said that one of the things they can do for the activity, she said, contact the police, because one of the big hits is they'll bring the helicopter in. Now, it's not the helicopter that flies. They bring it in on a truck, but the kids get to play on it. Or said they have also could bring, like, the dog. So somebody has to contact. They wouldn't do, they do one. It isn't like they do everything. He said that she has known them also to bring, like, the horse. And the kids love stuff like that. Fire department, they'll bring a truck. same thing, let the kids. And then they didn't say this, but back when I was with early childhood, the fire department has a smokehouse where they teach the kids, smoke comes in, they teach the kids to crawl, and it is fabulous. First of all, it's awesome. I'm more than happy to recheck on that. And face painting, games, sack races, some other games, just kind of be thinking. We'll throw them out. The is this for the Easter egg hunt?
No. This is the fall festival.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
Fall festival. Okay. And the one with the that's involved with the small city, she said they go around. She said we don't make the people pay for their raffle tickets, but she said we contact businesses. They will give us items to put out for the raffle, and then as people come, they get a ticket. So it isn't like we're making them, like it's a money-making thing. Food, they said Sam will bring, they brought a large cake in for the ability to be able to set a table, information table on Sam's, you know, Sam's Club. They had a bank that brought in a popcorn machine, and then said, you really need to have a city table where you get information, like sign up volunteers, do a spring and fall cleanup, you know, all that sort of thing. But they said do a city table to get that. Music could possibly be a DJ. Now, this is the logistics. The number one thing she said, set the date early. She said so. People that are working on contacting the fire department, whatever, you've got a date and you've got a time to tell them. Check with your insurance. Said you'll need a one-day rider. She said it costs us about an extra $200, and they absolutely will not cover bouncy houses. No bouncy houses. And now I don't know if KLC is different, but that was a big deal with them. The electricity, she said their park has electricity. She said, but that's a big deal. She said, otherwise you might have to get a generator van. Tables, chairs, or you can have people bring their own chairs in, however you want to do it. Trash cans, she said, make sure it says trash cans. And she said the number one thing,
volunteers.
She said have lots of them. She said for face painting, she said give a couple teenagers. She said it says kids don't care what it looks like; they just like they're soaking on their face. But they were throwing them all out. Both of them were there. They were throwing their stuff out fast. I will kind of follow up with some of this, but this is just some ideas.
That's great.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Do y'all have any questions? Anybody want to volunteer right away?
How much electricity do we need?
Huh?
How much electricity do you think we need? You said a generator truck.
Well, I don't know. Of course, it depends on if you're going to have what you're going to do.
Right.
You might not need any if you don't have.
That's right. If you don't have a bank, bring in the big popcorn machine. You don't need it.
Well, I have a portable generator. You're more than welcome to use. Can't hurt it. I mean, you turn it on, turn it off, so you do. It runs almost my whole house. So I don't know what you have.
I've got a large portable generator.
So there's two of them. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, I don't think that GJ needs much more than that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was talking to DJ and. What else?
Yeah, and if we're doing it in September, we still have good daylight hours. So
Well,
you're such an optimist, there, Estelle. Okay.
You must have had a bad day.
Yeah.
Okay. You must have had a bad day.
All right. Well, thank you, Commissioner Campbell, and I guess we need to work on a date. So.
Yep.
I would like to have it by next meeting, if it's all possible. Okay. Any other projects that you want to jump on? Oh, Commissioner Hall.
Yes, sir.
You want to bring up your projects for the open space while we're talking?
I can do it now, or I can do it during the commissioner.
Isn't that you, Ben?
Yeah,
you.
You make the minutes kind of hard.
Okay, all right. Well, I just wanted to give him. Okay, all right. So we're done with the old business, and let's see that Mr. Schwager is finally here. I guess he got in some traffic jam.
I said the Pledge of Allegiance on my way out here.
No,
I stood up straight and I both my hands, my hand in my heart.
Okay.
I promise.
All right. So,
am I ready?
Yeah, the first thing we got on there is the second read on the big long ordinance.
This would be ordinance number one.
That's not the ordinance. Oh. That's the no. It isn't that. That's the agreement.
Oh yeah. No, this is the ordinance repealing.
Okay. This doesn't look. Is there 46 pages on that thing?
Too many. I'm not going to read every word. I'm just going to go like this. Want to pass this? I'll paraphrase, okay?
I don't... Whatever's legal.
It's ever legal, okay. And it's really the substance of the part of it that matters.
Just go through it. Don't elaborate. One. Just go straight through it.
And speak up.
No, you got to go up. You got to speak up.
All right. I'm going to get you a buzzer, Bob. You can buzz like...
Well, no,
you know.
He can't. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah.
Commissioner Hall to Hill.
How you doing, man?
Can you hear?
I can hear.
All right. This is ordinance number one, series 2020, is to replace ordinance 5 of 1995. This is to modify the regulation contained in ordinance number 5 so that all communication services providers are treated equally and subject to the same rights and obligations when operating the city's rights of way. I always thought that was the law, equal protection, so maybe 5. Involved that, but anyway, now therefore be ordained by the city as follows. Ordinance 5-7095 is hereby repealed in its entirety and replaced as follows. And then they mention the subcategories here. Alright, and this is two-sided. Alright, the first section is general provisions, declarations of findings. The city hereby declares as a legislative finding that the rights of way controlled by the city are a unique and physically limited resource, are critical to the travel and transport of persons and property in the city, are intended by public uses and must be managed and controlled consistent with that intent, can be partially occupied through the facilities of providers of communications, should be communication providers, to the enhancement of the health, welfare, and general economic well-being of the city and its citizens, should be subject to specific additional regulations imposed by a competitively neutral, non-discriminatory, non-discretionary manner as established by this ordinance to ensure coordination of providers and to maximize available space, etc. Title, this ordinance may be referred to and cited as Communication Service Franchise Ordinance. Applicability, it shall apply to the full extent of the terms herein. Preservation of authority, any rights granted pursuant to this ordinance and pursuant to any franchise authorized hereunder are subject to the authority of the city. Public inspection of records, they can be inspected. Indemnification, this is important. As a condition of the rights of the way, each franchisee at its sole cost and expense shall indemnify, protect, and defend them and hold the city harmless. That's very important. Compliance with laws. They'll comply with all laws. Enforcement, attorney's fees. The city shall be entitled to enforce this ordinance in any franchise grant hereunder through all remedies available at law, and each franchisee shall pay the city's cost of enforcement, including but not limited to reasonable attorney's fees in the event that franchisee is determined judicially to have violated the terms of this franchise. That would mean that if we had to sue them for some reason, if you're successful in that pursuit. It doesn't even say if you're successful. The attorney's fee will be reimbursed. Okay, I think we should just sue them. All right, right after we stop this. Relationship under the parties. Under no circumstances shall any franchise authorized by this ordinance be construed to create any relationship of agency, partnership, joint venture, or employment between the city. We're not getting into a partnership. It's not a joint venture. It's just a ordinance. In fine terms, they have numerous pages of fine terms, and I think the only two important are: franchise means the person whom the franchise is granted, lessee means the person who provides communication services. Franchise requirements and characteristics. It is unlawful to operate without a franchise, unless otherwise specifically authorized as under applicable federal or state law. It shall be unlawful for any person to own, erect, install, maintain, operate, etc. Remover, nobody can go in there and touch their equipment. They can't move their equipment or anything like that. If a bad guy would go in there, I mean, it means we can't do that. We can't go touch anybody in the city. This is any franchise that has let us is not exclusive, which means they can, I guess, enter into franchise agreements with numerous providers. Nature of rights granted. Franchisee shall not convey title, equitable, or legal interest in these rights away. They just have a right to use them for their intended purposes, and that's to facilitate the infrastructure to provide the service. Nature of rights granted. Franchise shall not convey title. They can't say sublet or let anybody else other than themselves utilize or maintain this franchise. Application fee required. Any fees? Applications received by the city from the applicants will become the sole property of the city. Applicants, so if it's a franchise fee, which we're going to get into, you guys get the seat, keep it. Application fees shall be accompanied by a non-refundable application fee of $2,500 payable to the city, not to your attorney. This application fee shall be established at the rate set forth herein. Thereafter, the application fee shall be increased every 2 years in increments of 10% if required, based on the most recently published Consumer Price Index. This application fee shall defray in whole or in part the city's cost to process any application filed under this ordinance and negotiate or administer any franchise. Name and address of the applicant. When they apply, then they have to put in this information, name, address, and all that. Description of proposed system. General description of proposed project by geographical area. This is what they need to provide a description of proposed system components. Anticipated number of general location of small cell antennae. Hello, that. Location, area on the ground with fiber. So anyway, they have to tell you what makes up the system. And where. The applicant shall provide a statement setting forth the general description of the communication services the applicant plans to provide. There's going to be an application form that includes all of this stuff. It would be idiots to not include everything that is required by this ordinance to include in that. So when you get it, be assured that it's compliant with a section of the statute. Here's important. Any franchise granted, together with the rights, privileges, and authority granted thereby, shall take effect and be enforced from and after the effective date. That makes sense. File such bonds as required in this ordinance, and we'll get into that, I'm sure, in the bond section. A bond is to assure that someone does what they're supposed to do. Okay, that's all that is. Use of rights of way. Police powers franchisees use subordinate. A franchisee shall construct and maintain its facilities in accordance with federal, state, and local laws, including permit requirements. They're going to have to get permits from Metro government. The grant of franchise does not in any way affect the continuing authority of the city through the proper exercise of its home rule or statutory powers to adopt and enforce ordinances necessary to provide the health and safety of the public. The city makes no express or implied representation or warranty regarding its rights to authorize the installation of such construction or facilities at any particular segment of the rights of way. The burden responsible for making all such determinations in advance of construction or installation shall be entirely upon the franchisee. The use of the rights of way authorized shall in all matters be subordinate to the city's use and rights therein. I don't think that are they using any utility easements that are being used by, like, any other, like,
the phone and the cable and everything are in the same easement.
can, subject to the city's police powers, we can exercise our police powers, emergencies. Term, a franchise shall be for a term not to exceed 20 years. Franchise fees, during any period of time which the city opts to forego imposing a franchise fee, that would be stupid, and to instead participate in, okay, you have a choice here, and I don't know which one is more economically attractive, and instead of participate in a multi-channel video program and service tax system set forth under this statute, 136-600. Franchisees shall not be required to pay franchise fees if you elect that option. I'll find out from Linda Hain which is more palatable.
Well, we want money. I don't want cable access.
All right. No, they're talking about taking a percentage of the action, I think.
They do get it. The JCCCC, whatever it is, does get a percentage every year. We have to write them a check every year. We've been doing that for years. We get a monthly amount, and then at the end of the year, they figure out how much of that of the total fees that we received, they get a percentage of.
Okay.
And I think it was 15% under the last contract.
They talk about time and payment of franchise fees and all that. That will, in due course, be put into effect. Interest on late payments, I doubt that's going to happen. These statements, in the event the city imposes a franchise fee, they have to provide a statement in support of that, kind of like the insurance companies do. No accord and satisfaction. This is a legal term. It's usually a defense. It's what you call an affirmative defense. If there's been an accord and satisfaction, if I sue someone for money, but they can prove it's been a prior accord and satisfaction that has been paid and satisfied the debt, then that's a defense. It says no expense by the city of any franchise fee or any other payment shall be construed as an accord that the amount is in fact the correct amount. Okay. If it's not the correct amount, then we have to tell them at that time. Description of communication services is to provide whatever they're provided. Franchise fee, not a tax. This is not a tax. It is a compensation for the use of the right of way. Okay, a franchisee shall provide the city with written notice of any transfer or assignment of the franchise. This happens all the time. Bigger companies come in and buy the restaurants. It's like a sublease. You got to give the landlord notice that. You know, you're going to sublease the property. So the same thing here. You can't, if they come, of course, you have to do the due diligence to make sure that anybody that comes in to assume their position is either equally able or more able to do what they're supposed to do in the performance of this contract or this ordinance. So if they come in and say, Steve Schwager's taking this thing, you're going to say, no, okay. Rights of way and management, encroachment permit, franchise shall be subject to any and comply with the additional or supplementary terms and conditions of any encroachment on right of way as may be amended from time to time. They have to come to you and say we want to do something else here. Of course, you need your permission to do that. Removal of, upon the expiration of the franchise, they got to remove everything. That will happen because I think in perpetuity something is going to be maintaining this unless there's a better way to do that. Let's see. They define it. Let's see. Hold on. This new, if they do, someone comes in and assumes their position, they're calling an attachment, God knows why. So if it's assigned, if they assign their responsibilities under this contract, they can, and if the one that assumes that responsibility is non-compliant,
then the pre-existing attacher has the right to refuse new attacher's request to relocate, etc. The performance bond shall indemnify the city and its own. Let me see if I'm getting ahead of myself here. 728. A franchisee shall be responsible for all reasonable costs. This is a well-written ordinance incurred by the city that are directly associated with franchises erecting, installing, maintaining, operating, repairing, etc. Restoring its facilities in the rights of way. A franchise shall be responsible for its own costs, including movement and stuff, insurance and bonds. During the term of any franchise, the franchisee shall obtain and maintain at its sole expense all insurance and bonds required by this ordinance. The city does not in any way represent that the specified limits of liability coverage or policy forms are sufficient or adequate to protect the interests or liabilities of a franchise. That means that if there's a bond and something happens, like an explosion or something, and the bond comes in, if the bond isn't sufficient to cover that, the city doesn't have any liability for covering any action that the bond doesn't cover. If that makes sense. Okay. Franchise shall file with the city a franchise bond in the amount of $100,000, which shall be required to be in place for the entire term of the franchise. What you can do is buy a bond. They're probably going to post a $100,000 bond, because to buy a $100 bond for the term of this franchise would exceed $100,000. Bonds are expensive, because what happens is if someone doesn't perform, then the bonding company comes in to try to chase down the money or the franchisee who has failed to abide by the terms of this contract, and that can get expensive. So bonds are expensive. I expect they're just going to post them. They're going to escrow $100,000 somewhere. But that'll be the bond as presentable. Get into all of that. Let's see. The bond shall provide for the faithful performance of the construction and installation of the infrastructure. After demonstration and completion of the construction of the franchise, the city shall release it. Okay, this is a performance bond. This is not in the event of a disaster or cataclysmic event. It has to do with a performance bond, which means that once they get it in place, if it's similar to a developer who comes in and starts developing a subdivision, they have a post-performance bond, which they get back once they meet certain standards. The roads are blacktop, so many houses are sold, so many lots are sold. So once they get this infrastructure in place, they'll get their bond back. It's a performance bond. The bond can't be reduced unless the city agrees. That would likely happen. They have to also file proof of liability insurance, general liability insurance, automobile liability insurance, workers' compensation. They have to provide certificates of insurance for all of these types of insurance. And I think that you don't typically in this type of a deal. They provide all that. They're not going to come and say, "Oh, I forgot it." I mean, it's all going to be there. Right, they're going to have to apply for a permit from the city, provide detailed plans. They'll have drawings and all that.
They're already in there. This is a renegotiated. That started out as. Is Insight Spectrum. No, it's Charter. This stuff is already in. This is just.
Yeah, and that's a good point, Robert. They wouldn't be putting through this exercise.
No, they're not going to come out there and put new stuff in.
Now they're going to put up poles, you know.
No, there's not. It's all underground.
Okay, it's all underground. We're talking about poles here.
Yeah, well, there's other parts of the city that don't have underground. Right. So. Everything in our city is underground.
That's good.
the poles were in
the you see construction all the time, and they have arrows and guys out there and girls out there directing traffic stops, so on all that. They have to provide all that. They have to provide necessary safety things. You know, I've seen lately where they have a machine that raises and lowers the bar. They're not, it's cutting down on salaries because they don't have to pay anybody to go out there. They have these things that they can see if cars are coming, they stop, and then when it's clear, then one goes up and another one comes down. It's kind of neat, pretty sophisticated piece of equipment. All right, this is good. All of this work has to be inspected, just like the plumbing. When you get a permit to build a house, the plumbing has to be inspected, electrical has to be inspected before it's covered up. So this is the same thing. They got to get a building permit for this, and the inspectors for Metro Government are going to make sure that all of this done is correctly. But repair of sunken pavement over excavation in case the pavement surface deteriorates, that's my word, or broken any time within 5 years after the excavation is completed and before resurfacing the rights of way, natural wear and surface expected, franchise shall, upon written notice, the city immediately proceed to inspect the depressed area and fix it. So that's good. This seems verbose. We just can't ignore this ordinance. I mean, if we're supposed to do something like this, we always have to do what's expected of us. This has to be published so that when they're going to assume the cost of publication, and that's going to be expensive to publish this thing because I don't think it can be reduced to a certified summary of the ordinance. So I think what happens here is that once this is passed and signed, instead of us advancing costs, I think that we get them the original copy, they can record and pay for it. Or for the publication, I mean, it also has to be recorded. And this is going to be expensive to record too because it's by the number of pages. And I don't think you can record deep side pages in the deed. I really don't. But I'll find that out. The severability position, if one section is deemed illegal or unenforced, that doesn't affect any other sections which are deemed enforceable. Private communications facilities, remedies are not exclusive. Rights and remedies of the city and franchise are set forth and are not limited, okay? The rights as expressed in here for both the city and the franchise, they're not exclusive. So it doesn't mean that you're given the right to sue in circuit or federal court for something that they do that is really not covered by this. For example, if one of your employees goes on a rampage and, you know, starts shooting people, that example, but that would be a different cause of action. Review, termination, cancellation. City may terminate franchise according to an event of a violation of material provision. Material provision means an important provision. Right? If they say they're going to start work on August 1st and they're there on August 2nd, that's not material. It means material, something that's one of the key components of this. Also, acts of God. You know, if an act of God delays their construction, or if raw materials are they don't arrive because of some problem. If something happens out of their control that delays construction or affects construction in any way, they can't be held liable for any damages. The damages would be hard to establish anyway because it would just be a delay in using this system to do whatever it's supposed to do. If anybody ever sees any violation or breach, we have to notify them anyway. So if someone sees something that's amiss, then notify me and I'll report it. Reports. Public safety request franchise used to submit a written report to the city, including but not limited to the following information. A summary of the previous years, or in the case of initial reporting, the year's activities and development system, including but not limited to communication services, begun or discontinued. Constitutional right to collect franchise fees. A list of officers and directors of the board. Shall the unlawful franchise refuse or neglect to provide this information? Books and records of franchise. These books and records are open to scrutiny. Time is the essence. Time is of the essence is key in any contract, because if it's not in there and the contractor, whoever, is delayed in the performance, then you really don't have any remedy. It usually works in, and not many attorneys know this, I mean, maybe the good ones do, but I know it, is that you have, if you sign a contract with someone to perform something within a period of time, within 2 months of August 1st, and then they don't, whether they just don't care, they don't show up, you see them on the beach smoking a cigar, doesn't matter unless you have time of the essence in the contract. So anytime you sign a contract, make sure you have that time of the essence. Unless, of course, you're the one that's got to perform the service, and then you don't want it in there. Equal employment opportunity, they got to be equal in their employment regulations, violations. 45. I think that's it. So this is the second reading. You guys have to vote to either pass or not pass.
Yeah, we got a motion and approval vote. So is there any questions about this big, long ordinance?
This one takes the place of one that's expiring?
We currently have a contract. The JCLCC that was put in place in 2005. More than anyhow, it basically, so that they can, the city receives funds based off of the amount of services or the people that are on in this case, Charter Cable, okay, or Spectrum, okay. In the past, it was Insight. Prior to that, you know, it was somebody else.
Store.
Yeah. So, see, what it's just evolved. It was time to do a new contract. I couldn't tell you what the time limit was on the other contract. But the attorney that wrote this up, is she specializes in franchise ordinances. So, this is just a matter of, the other one was probably getting close to fire. We probably needed some updates in it that the cable franchise recognized. So they went through this process so that we would have an updated version that we need to have. Also in here, from what I was told when I was at the meeting, compensation has gone up. From in the past, it's been, I think, 3%. I think it's up to 5% now. I'm not really sure. But it just, she did say that it was a higher compensation. But again, we get so much per year. But then again, the JCLCC, once a year, they send us a bill for a percentage for as being part of this franchise agreement group, okay? So it's not just the County League of Cities, it's completely, it's JCLCC, it's Jefferson County League Cable Company Co-op or something, I don't know. What is it? Read it.
I'm looking for that.
It's on the first page, I believe.
Yeah,
That's the way it's always been.
But what we make over the year is certainly more than the percentage.
Yeah, we're only getting 15%. They're only getting 15% back of what we get.
What you get.
Okay. So that's what the old one was. Okay. I don't know what, you know, I would assume it's pretty similar on this one.
So I make a motion that we accept this ordinance.
Ordinance 1, Series 2020?
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Yes.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Bedell. On ordinances, we have to have a roll call vote, so I'll start with Commissioner Campbell.
Yes.
Commissioner Bedell.
Yes.
Commissioner Metcalf.
Yes.
Commissioner Hall.
Yes.
Yes.
Mayor Stone, yes. It's unanimous.
I think this watch too much TV.
Okay. We have to do the same thing on the JCLCCC agreement. Need to go through it. Give us the lowdown on it.
Give us the Cliff Notes version.
Okay. All right. This is stated today because this was fast, so now we can consider this agreement. Numerous whereas is one that has passed. Pursuant to this resolution, the city granted its charter and its laws. Pursuant to the resolution of the ordinance, the city granted to charter and its office successors assigned to transferees pursuant to this ordinance. The now exclusive franchise for a period of 10 years to install and maintain communication facilities, provide communication services by use of said communication facilities within the confines of the city pursuant to this ordinance. Now therefore, in consideration of mutual covenants, agreements contained herein, the see and sufficiency of which are hereby acknowledged, the city at the key language in every contract is embedded to do. The receipt and sufficiency of which is hereby acknowledged, the city and charter hereby agree to incorporate the foregoing themselves as fully set forth herein and further agree as follows. This ordinance number one is incorporated into this agreement. Okay. So the ordinance can be referred to in considering the parameters and the particulars of this contract because it's part of the contract. The bidder charter for said franchise, which is attached to Exhibit A, which is the ordinance incorporated here by reference, that's key language, which is in its entirety, shall apply as fully set forth herein. Charter agrees to comply with all the applicable requirements as set forth in the rule of Metro Works and Acts. Work, public works and assets utility policy, that's subject to paragraph 9. So that's incorporated by reference here in 2. To the extent charter continues to provide PEG channel or PEG channels to the local Jordan County Metro Government, the charter shall continue to make such channels available to its cable service subscribers in the city at no cost to the city. In addition, pursuant to 6B of the ordinance, charter will not prevent any of its subscribers from accessing the pay channels that are available on the Google Metro website. As used in this paragraph 4, subcontractor subscribers, anyone who is located within the territorial limits of the city and who is billed for and authorized to receive the service provided by the charter and cable service subscribers, anyone who receives the cable service as defined by the Federal Cable Act, which is also the city shall indemnify and hold all charter from any and against all liability resulting from the use of the paid channels by the city or its designees, except to the extent such use is not within the direct control of otherwise directed by the city. The foregoing defines city charter's obligations pursuant to Section 6 of the agreement. City grants the charter a non-exclusive cable franchise. The franchise shall commence January 21, 2020. Boy, today's date, and shall and expire. I don't think it becomes effective until it's published, but anyway. Does charter this year by buying itself the successors and assigns to the faithful performance of the duties herein? Franchise agreement memorializes the agreement between the parties and shall be binding upon and renewed to the benefit of the respective successors, assigns, etc., including any lawful successors, etc. City and the charter agree pursuant to Section 5 of the ordinance, there's a process in place for generally applicable changes to ordinance number one, which are the result of the city of Altar says it's police power. The city and charter further agree that franchise agreement is a contract and neither party may take any unilateral action to ensure changes that explicit the promises and covenants and stuff. That's not, you just can't do that. unless there's a material change or something. The city in charge of agreed to charge obligations under sections of this ordinance may be satisfied as follows. The ordinance shall not require a charter to reimburse a customer for costs incident to return of equipment such as transportation to. That means that if you want to cancel a service and you have to drive somewhere to return your equipment, they can't get paid for that. The city exercises or has already exercised its right to impose and collect franchise fees. Charter may satisfy its obligations under section 2.0 by including its service obligations on its publicly available website. Obligations of 3B concerning the conduit shall apply to installations or conduit by city with city request installation of city conduit during permitting process. Shall not be required underground serial facilities in a particular area unless the city imposes a similar underground obligation to all other franchisees. Of course, the city agrees, everybody agrees to comply with applicable laws, including federal civil code 47, etc.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
And we can't be discriminatory.
Right. Yeah, okay, we're all here. 5, 6, 7. The city's reasonable force provisions of this franchise and ordinance in a non-discriminatory and federally neutral manner, including respect to the government and the provider seeking to provide communication service, whether directly or pursuant to any agreement with any person using rights of way, and witness whereof the city and charter have executed this franchise agreement as their free and voluntary act, and deemed effective as of the first year, first date above written. So,
dates all in this.
So you have to agree to enter into this contract, which would be counterproductive if you just passed the notice and didn't pass this.
Yeah.
And Bob would sign that. And I think it's the signature for whoever needs to sign it needs to sign it. Here's that goes to that too.
Do I do the in the line that says buy?
Yeah, does it? Yeah. Is there a place where somebody else's signature?
Well, I couldn't figure out because the way it,
let me see,
it changed, it was. I couldn't tell if that top line was where I signed and then you signed by at the bottom.
Let me see. I look.
Anyhow, do a fair motion to enter into the franchise agreement.
Yeah, Bob, you sign right here. That should be bumped up here a bit. So I'll sign here.
Well, there's four copies of them, so pass them. Do I hear a motion to enter into the contract?
I'll make a motion to enter into the contract.
Need four originals?
Well, I got four originals, so we have enough. All right. Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All right. Roll call vote. Commissioner Hall, how do you vote on the franchise agreement?
Yes.
Commissioner Metcalf?
Yes.
Commissioner Babel?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Mayor Sturm? Yes. Okay. That's that.
You have four times?
I have four of them.
There's one.
Okay, here's the rest of them.
If they put in there, they
I have to sign that one.
Original, so you don't have to sign all of
them. All right. As soon as we get done signing, I will, we'll move along. The only thing I want to do is let Steve get out of here without signing.
Mm-hmm. Bev works for me a little bit, and she also does city work for me, and she's really good for me. She's hard to question, but she's a question to train those people in the field.
And I'll be over there tomorrow.
With a baseball bat. They should have put in here that the attorney's not working. Of course, I work in the city, so I come under that protection. It's not
that. Okay. On the agenda, the status of the city orders that we've had in place out there. Okay. Right now, Mr. Swarger, the only movement that we've noticed is 4514 Mecklenburg has removed the stump.
And for Janelle, I got a letter from them, and they said they're going to get in compliance. And I scanned it with the intention of sending it to everybody, but I forgot to send it.
Did they say when?
Yeah, it's very well written. It's,
okay. But
I think I'll send it to you, and if there's any questions, you guys can tell me.
And that's 4514?
No, that's Janelle.
Oh, the Millers?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, 4516.
4516, we haven't heard from since the first night.
Who was that?
That was the couple that was here the first night in May.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And Anthony and his wife were here last meeting, and that's the one that's had the stump removed.
Right.
Okay, so
I like that guy. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Got a sense of humor.
The question I have is, if we don't get any movement from 4516.
Who's
16? 16 is the couple. The couple that was here originally at the first night.
14
May.
Is.
That's Anthony and his wife were here last meeting.
And who's Janelle's name?
That's Amy and Steve, I think, is his name. Miller.
Okay, Miller, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'll get that to you. Now, if they don't comply, and Robert Scott here, recommend court order. I still believe in the possibility of.
I want to prosecute
going out there and try to get these guys peace. But if they don't, here's what happens. You have to file a declaration of rights action. That's a circuit court action.
Okay.
Where a court, and with your declaration of rights action goes a request for injunctive relief, which can be a restraining order or a temporary injunction. Restraining order prevents you from, restrains you from doing something, an injunction can make you do something or make you stop doing something. So I've done this before, and so what you do is you prepare the particulars of the Declaration of Rights action. That's the complaint, but it's for the court to declare what someone's rights are. So it would be that we're declaring our rights, that this is an easement, they're infringing upon the easement, and we want the court to enjoin them from keeping whatever it is on the easement that doesn't belong there. So, because it's not an emergency, you're not going to get an...
Right.
An emergency would be if, Bob and I sold a house and we each had $50,000 and he sees me getting on a plane with the $50,000, he'll run down and get the judge and say, stop Stephen getting on the plane. Of course, it's too late, I'm gone. But that's, irreversible and irreparable harm is the test to get a temporary restraining order or a temporary injunction. It doesn't happen that often. So we would ask for I would go in and file these documents. It would be assigned to a division, and then I would go to the judge of that division and ask him to set a date for a hearing, and then you would have someone testify that and we put in a plaque showing this easement, and then
we'd
take pictures of the violation, and we'd ask the court to make them remove that.
Right.
And what we do wind up really, it would be a hearing for a permanent injunction or restraining order, because it would make no sense to say you've got to, it would be a permanent hearing.
Right. Okay?
So then the court would make a decision. Now, you've got 16 different judges up there, and some of them, you know, deal in equity and not the law or whatever. So, you know, and I'm just playing devil's advocate. I can see some of these judges saying, what was this easement for? Was the school easement? They didn't build the easement. How long has it been there? Blah, 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 blah. I express to the judge, you know. I always say to the judge, you know this judge. You don't sit there and try to tell the judge, well. And someone said, well, Steve says that because I really don't know, you know. So, a lot of those judges up there probably don't know that you cannot adversely possess public land, okay?
But you would bring that up examples that you have.
I would put it in my plea.
Okay? Right.
And that, so the judge would then know when I get up there.
Okay.
So,
I know it's a long process, but I want us to basically, I mean, I believe when the commission puts something out there, okay, if it's not going to take and be backed up, it's just crying wolf. And you can only cry wolf so many times. So, my recommendation is, and I'll make a motion that if we don't get compliance by the end of the month on the Mecklenburg, and I want to see the letter on the Jonell, because they have committed, okay,
right.
Supposedly. But we need to basically put some deep teeth into it. They've known about the issue since last May, okay. They had all summer. It's been nice for the last 2 weeks. They did the 14 did get the stump out, but it's still not moved the fence. So I'm making the motion that if we don't see a movement or attempt to remove the fences on the Mecklenburg locations, that we proceed with taking legal action. The Jonell court, before I say anything on it, I want to see that letter.
Sure, I'll send it to you.
If they're committing to it, we've got, you know.
Well, then you also have my breach of contract. If they agree to do that.
Right, yeah, then we have breach of contract. So,
you know, they agree to do it and they agree to do it. So.
And we did give the 4514 till the end of the month to move the fence.
What's their transgression? Mm-hmm. What's the 14? What do they have on
4514, they're the ones that talked about the stump. And by the way, I was out there, took pictures. The stump was in their property. The root was on the line, on the easement line. And I've got pictures to prove it.
And they didn't remove that?
But the stump's removed.
Okay, so 14 is in compliance.
So far, they haven't moved the fence.
Okay, all right.
They've only got the stump out of the way, so they can move the fence.
All right.
Okay.
Well, I can't believe.
But they have to the end of the month to move.
They have the end of the month to move the fence. And 16, once the fence moves, 16 has no fence down the side. So I don't know what they're planning on doing. We haven't had any conversation with them. They've not come back to the meeting, but I'm making a motion that we be prepared that if it's if no action has been taken by either parties, that we proceed with the legal steps. If one or the other does comply, then it's just basically the party that's not in compliance to be taken legal action on. So that's my motion.
I have a question, because the way I understand that the fence is going like down the middle of the.
Assumingly, it's in the middle.
Okay, so if Anthony, you know, the 14 moves the fence, then 16 is not going to have any fence
do they have to put a fence up?
No, they don't have to put a fence up, but they still have fence on the easement. Okay, the fence is in the center.
Okay.
Okay, so that on 16, they will still have part of their privacy fence on the easement, even though that easement is 10 foot and some odd inches wide. Okay?
Okay.
Which gives it the ability of having a pursuit down it. I'll put it that way. All right? So I've made a motion.
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. And I'm going to take a roll call vote. Commissioner Hall, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Metcalf, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Bevel, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell, how do you vote?
Yes.
And Mayor Stone votes yes.
You know what I do sometimes, it depends on who the other side is, but you get the pleading prepared and you send it to them and say, look, we're already filed this thing, you have to prepare.
You're right. I don't care.
Of course, this is kind of a pro se thing that you would only return on. The facts are what they are.
Right.
You know, it's not like you make any incredible legal argument.
Okay. Next thing that I have on the agenda is the rental property registration statuses.
I had a guy walk in today with, he's a nice guy. I said, I don't have a computer on that. So I think I sent Bevan a request to send mail this guy an application, and he had his tax letter. And I said, do you owe the tax? He said, yeah. And I said, when can you pay? He said, I'll be here in the morning with a check. So that was good. You know, he's going to comply with the rental. As to the people getting compliance, I don't know that. I mean, Bev sends me that information.
Right.
But she would be the one to
weigh in
on that.
My concern is the reason why I bring this up on both the vacant house. We have one vacant house that hasn't been in compliance. Now, we did get an email from the owner of that property on the vacant house that they have not sent the submission form in. We know that the house is vacant. They admitted that they're not living there. They're living at the mother-in-law's or mother's house. And they admitted that the property is not in the best shape on the outside. I'm trying to do that. They had all kinds of excuses, but the whole problem is the house is vacant. And our ordinance, it states that a vacant house property is considered vacant when there hasn't been anybody there for 30 days. This house has been vacant for longer than 30 days. I would like to see this person get in compliance with at least registering. It's just a single page. It can't take more than a minute to do. Okay?
Well, they should be cited for if there's a nuisance or any violation of our beautification ordinance.
Right. It's the same thing with the rental properties.
I was going to ask, we just kind of skipped over the rental properties.
Right. Well,
what happened?
I'm doing them both here. My feeling is we got to set a date to start hitting the fines. Okay? And I want to know what the process is of starting or notifying them or letting them, making them aware of the fact that they're now being fined. I mean, there are two properties on there that have not been registered on the rental properties that are a previous commissioner in this city.
I think the Metro has a rental property.
And yes, they have a rental property. Yes.
Also takes people and just cite them for violating the Metro ordinance. All that's processed downtown.
Well, we want to get our $100 a day. Okay? That's the thing. I'm not worried about it. And on our application, it requests to know if they're registered with Metro, because Metro's is a per-day fee also.
I'm going to have to file a form with the Secretary of State, but we're not a non-profit entity, okay? So I'll have to change our status with the Secretary of State.
No. What do we have to do to start collecting and doing this finding? This is
okay, you have to cite them under ordinance, and then you have to set up that whole thing about the the board that we set up, which was the code enforcement board, yeah.
So we have to find three people that want to get on this code enforcement again.
Well, the better thing to do is to cite them and say, look, this is going to be $100 a day. We'll give you, you know, we can have Officer Tate give them a warning and say, you know, here, give them a copy of the ordinance, and it's $100 a day. We'll give you, you know, 30 days to comply. If not, we're going to tee it up, and you're going to want to pay $100 a day.
But you've got to say $100 a day at the beginning.
On a particular day.
The day after
the date that he gives them the ordinance. Yeah. So I think that's a good tactic.
Okay.
Do you have a copy of it?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's online.
But if it's an empty house, how can Officer Tate?
Well, we have the address. We haven't given the owner's address, and then he can just mail him a citation and a warning and say, here's the ordinance, and, you know, get in compliance. And then, you know, if we can engage in conversations, if the kids are out there lighting matches, smoking cigarettes, it looks like they might be dealing drugs, you could lose your house and stuff like that. That would only be, you know, you could kind of imagine that agreement, you know.
Is this the couple that wrote in to you and or to some other and said either the man or the husband are there daily?
But they are there daily. But they check the mail daily, but they don't go in the house daily. And occupied means they're living in it. It does not mean they stop by. Occupied means they're living in it. Isn't that right, Steve?
Yeah, well, it has to do with residency. If it is empty, they're not residing there. They're residing somewhere else, and that would show up when the tax bill goes probably. So, no, they're not residing.
No, the tax bill goes to the mailbox. He just drives past and grabs mail.
Well, then that, okay. But he's not residing there.
Yeah, nobody's living in the house. They have an automatic light.
So if they're not residing there, then it's an empty house.
I have witnesses that can verify that they're not living in the house. And a car in the driveway hasn't moved for at least 3 years. So,
where is this located?
On Northumberland.
No, they're not residing there.
Yeah. No, they're not. I mean,
and the tax bill goes to that house. All you got to do is go into Jefferson County Land Records and put their name, and that would only catch it if they're living in Jefferson County. It's only Jefferson County.
Oh, we got the address. They gave us the address where they're living.
Oh.
And what did you say? And I'm only asking this because I think there might be a vacant property over at the condos where I live. I don't know for sure, but I think there might be.
Mm-hmm.
A vacant condo. But what is the time frame?
30 days. 30 days or longer.
Okay.
Or more, less. It's in the ordinance because I read it today. I think it's more than 30 days.
Okay.
Okay? And we put it in there because we got people that... You run into problems where you have your snowbirds go to Florida.
Yeah.
Okay? They still need to let us know about the property. It's not a matter of, we will, you know, we're basically looking to protect the public and their property. Okay? When that house is vacant. And... that is important because we had a house burned down across the street from me on the 4th of July years ago. And Estelle will tell you they got sooted by the fire, okay?
Sorry.
We were having a picnic in the backyard.
So were we.
And all of a sudden we heard this popping. Then we saw a smell, and here was the smoke just roaring out
right.
of the roof.
Yeah, and that was that was during the Iraq or the Kuwaiti.
Prevention was shooting firecrackers.
Yeah, that's when they were.
No, they were in the house shooting firearms.
Yeah. They were also outside too.
The owner had a contract with a transportation provider, and he's at Travis for the Kuwait. Whatever that was, incident back in the 90s, okay? And he was out of town. He was usually out of town for at least a month or two, and then he'd come back for a month or two, and that's the kind of stuff that can happen. So by knowing that we have an empty home, I mean, we're talking houses for sale, too. We have rental properties out there that are empty, So this is really for their protection. It's not for anything else other than that, so that our security force knows that those houses are empty. A light coming on every night is not protection, okay? Because you can see it every night, same light, every night, no movement, every night, okay?
And the house across the street from us was abandoned.
Right, right. So here again is, this is one of the reasons we're doing this. We're doing it for public safety, period. So we just need to, what date would you like to basically put on here? Would you like to let them know? Let's see, the day's the 21st. Let's do this. Let's
say
the 21st. The 21st of what?
February 1st.
Oh, February 1st? You want to do February 1st? Okay.
Who are we talking? The real family?
We're talking about that one.
February 1st, give until the 15th. Then we know by the next meeting.
Yeah, that's good.
We'll notify them by the 1st and give them till the 15th to get in compliance, or their fine starts the 15th of February.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay?
That sounds
good. I'm tired of sending these people.
I mean, that's plenty of time, I think.
Yeah. I mean, the one house on Halifax that I didn't catch on the initial run, that one came back. This guy's from Key Largo or something in Florida, and that he as soon as he was notified, he sent his vacant house list notes back. So it isn't like they can't do it. It's not something that can't be done.
Well, I'll keep an eye on that condo over there where I live.
Okay. Just let us know what the address is, because the only reason I'm catching it on our side, we kind of figured out the rentals by where the property tax bill was being mailed, okay? But we have no way of really knowing on the empty houses unless you kind of just watch them, okay? All right.
I will be mailing them letters by the 1st. Telling them they got to the 15th.
Yes, they need to go online.
To go online and submit the form.
And they have, it's from the date of that letter until beginning the 15th of February, they will begin receiving a fine of $100 per day. Do you want to do the max? It's $100. Or no, on the vacant houses, it's between $100 and $500. $100 and $500. And on the rental properties, to a maximum of $100 per day. So what do you want to make the fines? Do you want to step the fines on the rental property?
You can get fined up to.
No, you can't. Don't step the fines on the rental properties. Is that what you just said?
No, what I'm saying is, where do we start the fine level at? Do we want to step it?
Because I know over there when we used to do fines and we would fine somebody if they were in violation of one of the rules and regulations, we'd fine them $25, and our attorney told us, he said, people spend more than that for lunch.
Yeah.
You know, you got to hit them where it hurts, and
you could also put in there, be fined up to that maximum.
I want to tell them a flat. I want to tell them a number. I don't want to have them guessing. I want to tell them a number. When we put that letter out, we've already put two letters out. Do the $100?
Yeah.
Do I hear a motion for $100 for the fines?
I make a motion for $100 per day for the fines.
Okay.
On both the rental and the vacant.
Okay.
All
right. Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Thank you, Commissioner Bedell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. The $100 in the letter saying beginning February 15th if they're not registered.
Before I forget, Robert, when you give that ordinance to whomever it is that's going to sign on behalf of the corporate entity, you should just tell them to go ahead and record that in the deed.
What?
That has to be recorded in the deed. And they said they would absorb the expense for doing that, so there's nothing to prevent them to go down and record that ordinance. Usually I do it, but when you hand off that ordinance for their statement, who are you going to give that to?
I don't know. I've got to call somebody.
When you give it to them, you know, I think you're going to keep it You're going to give them all four copies, and then they're going to sign one.
Well, I'm going to find out how many I have to get them.
Okay, but
one stays with us.
Right, but you're going to give it to them for the signature, and then they're going to give one back to you that's completely signed. But tell them that they need to take one of those four and go down and record the deed. They can do that. I don't need to do it. The clerk doesn't need to do that. Anybody can go down and record something. So they said they would assume that expense. Just ask them and tell them it needs to be recorded within 30 days.
Well, I'll find out.
They should do that. I think that's what they're
going to do. Next on the agenda. It's this, I brought copies of this. I hate keep digging on this, but I did talk to
you. I'll say something before I forget.
What?
Beth has helped me. You know, Kate, she's been in my office and doing it home. She sent out how many? She sent out, we prepared a draft form for these taxes, and we sent out more than 200 regular envelopes and 100 in large envelopes. I paid for the window envelopes, the large envelopes. I paid her to do these. So I want to commend her for doing that work. She's done a great job. And I tell you what, my phone is ringing off the hook. What I should have put in that letter is if you have proof of payment, please send it to me. Because half of them are saying,
well, all they're going to, trust me, I've talked to them, and all they want to do is send you the notice they got from the escrow account. And I've told everybody I've talked to, just because it was taken from the escrow account don't mean it made it to our bank. So be careful.
And also, Dan's very remarkable. He doesn't like compliments. But he's done incredible.
It's tax season for Dan, too. He's having to put up with it. Yeah, we're going to do this in November next year.
By the way, he's got a sophomore. Bob, he's giving you a little love picture. He's got a sophomore at Central High School. He came in and spent a couple hours with me. He wants to be an attorney and we'll be a good one. He was like a sponge.
I need to talk to him.
I was trying to scare him off and send his office.
Yeah.
I had a police officer to keep an eye on me while he was there. So he was
I can keep a copy. So,
you need a copy?
Yeah, you got one. Well, I don't want to take yours.
There's one on the chair there.
Okay. Alright, this next item on the bill here is, this is a Louisville ordinance, and it's Louisville ordinance 39.002, and it has to do with employee authority in immigration matters. This is a Louisville ordinance, and I only want to point out one thing in this ordinance. It's on the back. It's section F. Nothing in this section prohibits Metro government from sending to or receiving from any local, state, or federal agency information regarding an individual's citizenship or immigration status. Federal law does not allow such prohibition. Okay? The reason why I bring this up is, as I said at the last meeting, and Officer Mason verified, they have an agreement with the police chief, probably coerced by the mayor, about not contacting ICE on a traffic stop. But according to their own ordinance, if we was to put in a municipal order requiring them to provide us with the information for any time they encounter an immigrant, illegal immigrant, they're required to by federal law. It's prohibited under federal law.
So here's the deal, Mark.
It doesn't matter what the deal is. Okay. I don't want to argue about it. You are a prosecutor. You are a prosecutor with our city.
I don't like represents the city police. Told Officer Tate that neither he or anybody who works with him are going to enforce the order. There's no way you can make them, you know, in your idea of filing a
ethics complaint
against the mayor or chief of police, I mean, that's not going to get you anywhere.
Oh, yes, it will.
Okay, then, go ahead and do it. I'm not doing it.
All I'm saying is, Steve, you're a prosecuting attorney when you were working with the city. You're not a defense attorney for all the violators in Louisville. Okay? That's right. That's right. We have the right to protect our citizens. Okay? And if we have illegal drivers in the city, whether they're Americans or illegals, okay, they're to be treated equally. Period. If Officer Mason stops a vehicle, or any of his team stops a vehicle, and the driver doesn't have a driver's license, it don't matter who it is. They're going to take action.
And give them a ticket.
Right? Give them a ticket. All right. The problem with giving them a ticket is an illegal immigrant is not going to court.
But they're still going to get a ticket.
They're going to get a ticket. But we don't have the information to contact ICE. And we need to have that information to do our job for our citizens.
I agree. I'd have to go to court if I got a ticket. Am I not right?
Officer Mason, what's the odds of the illegal showing up for court to pay the ticket?
Slim.
Could they just pay the fine online or whatever?
I mean, some tickets are prepayable, but
right.
It just depends on the offense. But I think no operator license is a misdemeanor, which I think they'd have to go to court.
Gotcha.
Do you think? And illegals are gonna, I mean, I'm just asking for your own personal opinion. I'm not going to pin you down.
No, I mean, I've cited hundreds of them. They don't show up before.
Okay. So now we know we have an illegal driver or an illegal immigrant driving the city, which is a vehicle, which can be considered a deadly weapon, according to the police. Okay. We hit one of our citizens. Hopefully, they only get injured. How are you going to feel if we aren't taking action to alleviate the problem? We have to do our own, in my opinion, and I don't care what, you know, I'm just bringing it out. We're obligated to the citizens and our constituents of Worthington Hills to protect them from violators. I don't care who they are. And in this case, the only way we can protect them in this situation is basically acquire the information and report it to ICE ourselves. And under their own ordinance, and it states, federal law does not allow any such prohibits.
Prohibits what?
And they don't put anything that's in this whole ordinance.
Okay.
In other words, if you read the whole thing,
right.
Even General Services is required to collect certain information, which you know, General Services, like for housing and stuff.
Right.
Okay. They're all required to for government grants and stuff. They're all required to provide documentation.
But they don't take that documentation or the lack of that documentation. Eastern Area Community Ministries. They get people's names and addresses. If they have an illegal alien come in there to apply for a food basket or help with their LG&E bill or something like that, they take care of that person.
Right.
They don't use the information that they have and they gather from that right. client to turn them into immigration. Authority.
That's not a Metro Louisville employee.
Excuse me?
That's not a Metro Louisville employee.
Yeah, it's somebody who works for me.
They're working for a Christian organization, not a Metro employee.
Okay.
We are government officials who are under oath to uphold the law.
Look, my concern is If you force Officer Tate to do something that
he's not going to do it. We can't force him.
That's what I'm saying. We can't force him to enforce something that his boss is telling him to do it.
Well, I just like. I mean, here's the thing.
You're jeopardizing his job. You're jeopardizing the job of
The other, when you pull somebody over in the city and you write them a ticket, do you tell Dennis that you've written tickets?
It's on that.
That's on a report.
Right.
So we're getting a report about how many traffic stops he makes, how many. Do you tell Dennis how many of those traffic stops are black people?
No.
Okay, you tell Dennis how many of those traffic stops are Southern Baptists? No, of course you don't.
Hey, aren't we missing the point? It doesn't matter the color of their skin. If they're illegal, it is.
They're illegal.
Your only recourse
it's
is
simple.
Ethics violation.
It's not a rule.
The mayor
question.
Of the city of Louisville. That's
it's a legal question.
If he can't give him a driver's license, he's illegal. It isn't the same as a black person or a white person, green or whatever.
Well, if he is
here illegally.
Well, there are a lot of people driving that. How many people have you pulled over?
It's not a matter. It's
excuse me. I'm talking. How many people do you pull over? Just, I'm just saying, on an average, they're driving on an expired license or don't have a license.
I mean, 90% of people probably have licenses.
90% of them probably do.
Right.
But not all of them do.
Right.
Well, Bob, I'll say something. I got hit because this car went through a light. It didn't do much damage to my car, thank God. But if it went 40 inches back, I would have been killed. He never stopped. So when I called the police, he said the reason he didn't stop was he didn't have a license, or he had something in the car, or he was in drugs. I never stopped.
The police said that?
Yes.
That's what
exactly what he said.
But does it mean that he was an illegal?
What is it?
It doesn't matter.
Well, I got one question for you, Commissioner Bedell.
Yes.
What exactly is the problem with reporting a person? We're not enforcing the ICE rules. We're reporting the undocumented person to a federal agency.
And then you're going to have that federal agency here in the city.
So?
Linda, what if that person that's in here illegally goes out and rapes somebody's child or somebody's wife or kills somebody?
You don't have to be illegal to do that.
No, you don't have to be illegal to do that.
The only problem I have, and I'll tell you exactly what I think it is, and all you all have to do is go back and listen to the minutes. When you hear the mayor say, if they've got a thick accent, then that's when you let us know. If they've got a thick accent, if that's not that to me, that right there, that was the one thing that just simply hit me the wrong way, because that's just assuming when you pull over somebody, if they don't speak fluent English, that they're probably an illegal.
Working for the school system.
I have a problem with the illegals in the school system.
There are so many hard-working people.
It's not a matter of hard-working people.
How are we going to enforce it if our police officer said he can't enforce it?
Yeah. Because I do not want his employment jeopardized. It would jeopardize your employment.
If at the end of this contract you say you're gone, you're not going to find anybody that is. The only, and I don't know how many competitors you have, but if any of the people that work for someone to succeed his contract have one or more active police officers from metro government, they're not going to be able to do it too. And I've thought about this, and I don't care which way it goes. I'm just telling you the problem you have with an order to him, he can't enforce it. Your only recourse then would be to try to find a city who wants to pass a like ordinance where you can enter into an interlocal cooperation agreement whereby both cities use an independent police force not connected to the metro government to enforce it, or fire a police officer and have him come every independent police officer not tied to metro government and have him come in and say he needs money for bullets, cars, tires, and all that stuff.
Okay, here's the problem that we have. Okay? If we ignore the problem, somebody does get hurt, or the property is damaged, the city does have a liability.
You don't have any liability.
Why don't we have liability?
Because it's not your duty to police these people. Why would if you have a...
it is our duty to police.
There is no exposure, Robert. The city would have no exposure.
I can't ever talk to the insurance carrier.
There's none. Trust me, that's the law. They can't hold you. It's like someone who escaped from a prison is coming through the city and they hurt someone. You don't have any liability there. The city has no liability.
But you'd report them if you knew they were here.
Crime committed in the city. They don't have it.
Right here in this book. No true sovereignty immunity for municipalities. Basically, we're not immune from being sued.
You can sue anybody for anything.
That's right, but we don't. We are not making it. We have to make an attempt.
Right.
We have to make an attempt.
There's no
to resolve the issue.
I can sue Deb right now for punching me in the nose when she didn't do it. It doesn't mean I'm going to win. Anybody can take a warrant against anybody. The proof's in the pudding.
Yeah. It's just like a church member falling and breaking something, and church members think that a church member is not going to sue the church. Yes, they will. And if you don't believe me, you ask the Catholic Charities about an accident that happened back in the 70s down in Paducah, where the Sisters of Charity, the nuns, received $1 million for an automobile accident. Because they sued.
Well, I'm on the record of saying we've made an attempt.
There you go.
Okay? It's on our records. I'm still not sitting still. I can tell you right now, I'm working with different cities already on this matter. Okay? Through the Justice County League of City. There was two or three people I talked to Saturday. I went to that event up at the public library in Middletown, and not only talked to other cities up there, but I also talked to state representatives. They're aware of what Louisville's doing, and I'm telling you right now, they're not happy about it.
Well, I've contacted
ACLU.
I've contacted Councilman Reed, and I've contacted Councilman Winkler, and they both have replied to me with basically saying the same thing, that, you know, this is not something that the city of Louisville wants to be involved in. That's what I've heard from the councilman, is that the city of Louisville doesn't want to be involved with this, and they don't think it's a good idea for
We're a home rule city, and unfortunately we have to deal with a county that is not following the law. So, anyhow, that's all I got to say on that. Obviously, there's nothing that we can do as long as we have a contract with Derby City Protection until something's done with the police chief and the mayor, okay, downtown. So, other than that, it's only done with. All right. But we're on the record that we made an attempt. I don't know if it helped us or not. New business. Anybody have any other new business than what I had on the...
Something that I found out when I was I was looking at the light bill because I thought there might be some questions about the rates and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I did find out we have different rate codes. And actually the rate code is nothing. All that is the type of pole and the type of fixture you have. It has nothing to do with how much it costs you to operate that. It's just what the fixture is and all that. But this lady was explaining the codes to me, and she mentioned code, light code number 266. And she said it's a wooden pole. And I said, we don't have any wooden poles in our city. And she said, yes, you do. You have one at 11747 Caswell. And that's when I sent Bev an email, and I said, who is it, you know, who's the property owner at 11747? I looked it up on the sheriff's thing, and it came back some LLC thing, and on the tax rolls, they're not on our tax rolls. And I pulled up a boundary map, and that light pole is not in the city of Worthington Hills. And we've been paying electricity on it since March of 1991. And so I'm going to have them do a little bit more.
Stay, pay attention.
I'm going to have them do a little more research on it.
We have a light pole that we've been charged for.
Since 1991.
Chainsaw it down.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm going to have LG&E do a little more investigating, because if that's the case, and it's clearly not within the boundary.
No, I know that address. That's not in our boundary.
It isn't. But if we've been paying
down towards the
light for it, then somebody needs to reimburse us some money.
How much do you pay a pole for like that a month?
On the 266 pole, the fixture's $30.42
a month. If we pay,
it's been there since they've been charging us since 1991.
It was installed in March of 1991.
Well, there might be a statute of limitations on that.
What was the total a month?
30 and some odd cents.
But it's one of those big wooden poles.
Well, you also need to find out who paid to install that. If they're billing you for it, I bet you they charge the city to install it.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know,
I've got them.
They're going to actually come out, and somebody from LGE is going to come out and actually, I guess, like survey the land and look at it and tell me a little bit more about it.
That's good. Thank you very much. That's good work. Okay. Next thing is the water bill. Okay. The water on the islands is off.
Yeah.
And Commissioner Hall brought this up to me. The water on the islands off. They've been off since October. Okay. The irrigation system was turned off October 31st.
That's when the black flood was done.
Yeah, it was in October.
Yeah, it was October 31st, I believe. We're still getting charged a fee, a monthly fee, even though we don't have any water usage.
The cross-connection fee, that's the fee you're talking about, that is like a backflow. That keeps anything bad in the water system from flowing back into those islands, into that pipeline. I was the one that called the water company and had the water service discontinued because there isn't any point in paying for water, having a water bill, you know. And I also had them check for a leak over on Boynton, because according to the water company, between October the 27th and November the 30th, we used 30,000 gallons of water on Boynton, that little old bitty island.
The water was turned off.
That's what I'm saying. It hadn't been then, because that's when we had the 300.
No, our irrigation system was off.
No, but
did they find a leak?
I haven't heard back from them. They were just out there last Thursday, so I haven't heard back from them yet. But the cross connection fee, we're going to get that. I mean, that's going to stay on there. They have to have that. That's just
$30 a month for a cross connection fee.
$16.60.
It's still too much.
Well, you have to have cross connection.
It's still over. It's overpriced.
Well, all right.
I don't understand why we have to have a.
Let me ask you something. I'm just curious about this, because this has happened to me for the last couple of months.
What?
Did you ever question this when Dennis was?
I didn't have access to the information then.
You didn't have utility bills?
No, we didn't get it. In the previous administration, we saw no bills at all. Isn't that right, Dennis?
That is true.
Well, we
that is correct. We had one situation with flagpoles at where the sprinkler system is over there.
Yeah. And, I kind of feel like you all are picking on me.
Somebody charges these fees, and if that's part of the bill, you're going to have to go to a different vendor because they have a standard billing practice.
I shut off the water over there by the flagpole, and we've still got high water bills, and the LG, I mean, the water company come out and check that 2 or 3 times, and they never could find a leak.
Right.
I don't have any control over the kind of light fixtures that were put in. I wasn't commissioner when they were put in. I don't have any control.
Linda, we're not picking on you. We now have access to the bills.
Okay.
All right. So now we're asking questions because it hasn't been available to the commission before.
All right.
Okay.
And
it's not a matter. It's a matter of, I mean, the first time I saw the bill on the water back in November of last year, the first thing I recognized, fact is, they had sales tax on it. And the first thing I did was call the water company and got that changed. And they actually went back 2 years and reimbursed us for sales tax for 2 years. Okay? It has nothing to do with you. We're paying bills.
I mean, I don't use the water.
If we turn the water off, if the irrigation system is shut down, okay, we're not using water. My problem is we should be getting zero charge. There shouldn't be any service charges or anything. We need to just shut the water completely off. Even if it costs us to shut the meter down.
Well, there's no reconnection charge or anything like that. I just found that out. There's no reconnection charge.
Well, then if it's shut off at the meter, how is the water going to backflow into the irrigation system?
Yeah, I don't think you should be charged for services that are not provided. The water's not off. These systems and transfer systems are not being used, so it's ridiculous that you're being charged for that.
You are charged a connection fee to your house monthly, whether you use water or not.
Oh, that's true.
Just because it's connected to your house. I don't know what it is.
No, it's nothing. But the thing.
But this is with an irrigation company,
right?
Not the water.
No, this is Louisville Water.
Louisville Water. Okay.
And they're
not going to weigh that.
And it's $16.36 a month times 3. So it's whatever that is.
That's $48.
No,
it'd be $32. Well, it doesn't matter. If we have the water cut off at the meter, the backflow's connection, wherever you're talking about for the backflow, that is between the meter and our irrigation system, probably. Okay. So if we don't have any usage, if the water is stopped at the beginning of the meter. There's no water or any backflow that's going to get into our irrigation system.
Are we still paying sewer charges?
No.
See, and I was told when I questioned it and brought it up,
shut the water off.
We had to pay sewer charges, and I knew that was wrong.
No, we're not.
But we did.
Well, I'm just saying we're not now.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because we got them on the irrigation.
You just call them and ask them. What that fee is, and
I've asked them. What is this fee? What is this?
It's a retirement payment for it's a retirement fund. That's exactly what it is.
It's like you said, it's your house.
Right.
You know, it's heat. That's out of the line.
But if it's, do you know when they shut the water off? That backflow is on the.
I will call them tomorrow and tell them to stop every single solitary water service to the city of Warrington Hills. Will that make you happy?
Well, I'm saying is if we've got the water shut off at the meter, we should not have to be paying that fee. Because that, what they're talking about is behind the meter, it's not in front of the meter. It's on our side of the meter.
their valve, they might say.
Is their valve on their meter?
And they might invite a Louisville Water Company rep to come in.
That's a good idea. There you go.
Invite a Louisville Water Company rep.
Thank you, Ed. I appreciate that.
That is a good idea.
Because I want to, I would like.
Obviously, I'm not doing a very good job.
No, I didn't say you weren't doing a good job.
I'm doing a good job.
Certainly, you're doing fine.
You are awesome.
Have him explain that cross connection issue.
Yeah, we need.
All
we
you
need
can do is ask the question.
Right.
We're doing fine.
Yeah, we're not.
That's a great idea.
We're just, it's a great idea. We're not questioning. We just have a question. When the water's turned off the meter, how can we be in charge? Period. And we just need a rep to come out to the city meeting next month.
I'll
go ahead. Can I interject just a second?
Go ahead.
Would you all like for me to
go ahead, Commissioner Hall.
What do you need from
us? That'd be great too. I'm looking at the bill right now, and it says water irrigation service charges for 28 days at $39,584. That's $11.80. But then it says below that, charge 2 days at $42,378. So, but, I mean, just like your water bill at home, if you're using every time you go over a certain level, they charge you X, whatever, 10,000 gallons or whatever. I mean, this kind of reads that way. Like, somehow they're charged, I mean, why would you charge a certain rate for 28 days and then a rate for 2 days? It's bizarre. I don't know.
They increased their rate. That's the reason why they do with utilities.
The island and the entrance and all three islands, the rate reads that way.
Yeah, that's because they had a rate change on that particular day that it started on.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Okay.
Yeah, because I see that on the electric bill all the time, on the gas part, when they change rates on the percentage.
Based on the day of the month that they did it?
Yeah, it's projected on how much it was for that particular date.
Yeah, that could be. That's just, it was strange.
Okay, all right. Anything else on that before I get to this city ordinance number 2, 2020, which is the first read for our tax ordinance. I already did it, Steve.
Yes,
I just used language. No change. Anyhow, this is just the first read, okay? We may have to change it later. Next month, I'm going to have the budget stuff. So we have to have two reads on an ordinance, so I try to get this out early. Kind of helps the residents feel good too, because we're not trying to raise the rates currently until we get done with the budget. So, and we also need to know what's going on with the PVA and how much our property values have increased or decreased from last year. So anyhow, you want to read this, Steve?
Yeah, I'll read it.
Okay.
I didn't author this. I didn't prepare it. It seems different than what I've done in the past. Anyway, this would be ordinance number 2, section 1, pursuant to this authorizing statute, we impose this tax. The rate Robert put in here is 0.20.47. Is that a change?
No, that's the same.
All right. Okay. Tax on that is generated enough revenue to pay bills. Tax payments received by the city in July, the assessed tax was discounted by 2. In August, the tax is equal to the assessed tax. In September, the tax is equal to the assessed tax plus 11% thereof. After September 30th, the tax is equal to the assessed tax plus 11% plus 1% monthly thereafter, beginning October 21st. I'll clean this up a little bit. I mean, I think if you say thereafter, I don't think you need to incorporate October.
This is exactly off last year's.
Okay, this city, it's my mistake then. They charge a taxpayer of $150. This ordinance shall become effective July 1, 2020. I'm sorry, Robert, I thought you changed it.
No, I didn't change anything. The only thing I changed was the dates.
Okay, all right. It looks like I need to clean it up a little bit. But then,
I'll send you a copy. This is just first read anyhow. Like I said, next month I will have I've already got the budget statement started work on, and I have some of the most of the budgeting, the proposed budgeting done. But again, this is a group effort, but I want to get it out early because I don't like to wait till May and June to get this stuff completed, because at the end of April, PVA is looking for the approved ordinance. So by doing the first read this month, we can get the final read done by April, okay, for the tax rate. And working with the budget, really it's important to know if there's got to be any change because of what's in the budget. PVA doesn't send us a whole lot of information, so I need to prod and do everything to get them to let me know at least if there's been any increase in the property. When we get the tax information, it shows how much our property value within the city of Worthington Hills increased or decreased, and because of the limit on a statute, we're only allowed to have an increase in our revenues, our property tax revenue, of up to 4% without having a public hearing. So I'd like to get this just out in the open. All right. Any questions?
Thank you, Robert. Very nice.
All right. Is there anything else that you want to talk about in new business? Oh, no, that's it. I just wanted to let you know. Budget items, if you've got projects or something you want to do next year, okay, make your list, because like I said, I'll have the budget, the proposed budget together, but it's all negotiable. All right, nothing else in new business. We'll move to the commissioner report. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Hall.
Okay, very simply, rental registrations have continued coming. On 117, I talked to John Rice about a letter received for delinquent tax. His escrow pays these. I advised him to get proof of payment, contact the individual the letter was from. I didn't know Steve sent it or Dan sent it. I didn't know.
No, I offered those.
I didn't hear him.
He said he'll
send him.
Steve said he
sent him. Okay. Yeah, so he'll contact. I'm sure he'll contact you. I told him about it. If it was being paid, it was being paid. On 118, I reviewed the following projects with the lawn care company. I will have prices and can provide pictures to avoid making everyone go take the trip out on the green space. But this is kind of, I'll call it the 2020-2021 wish list to get some of these things fixed. The flag, probably we all know that the irrigation system, the electrical stuff, needs that structure that it sits on needs to be repaired. I'm working on getting pricing on that. I'm looking to put bushes and flowers on the north bed. That would be the one facing Halifax, I guess. I'm looking for drought-resistant flowering bushes. Boynton corn, I'm getting a price on removing the dead and diseased drought-resistant flowering bush. Also, that electrical box, I'm working on getting a price to have it repaired. Lindenburg Drive, the green space entrance, this is the one Joe Nail fence was. There's three evergreens and one Bradford pear that someone's planted in the middle of that entryway. So I'm trying to get a price to have those removed and the stumps ground out and plant grass seed. There's also some, we'll call it tree debris, that's fallen out of some of the citizens' trees on, I think it's Lunenburg Court.
Yeah.
So I'm getting a price, so I'm getting all that cleaned up. R-line corn, what I'd like to do there, and I'm getting some pricing together, is plant drought-resistant flower and put some kind of a drought-resistant flowering bush in the center and put rock down so it's similar to the other islands. Bay Ends Court, I want to remove the evergreen bush, plant a drought-resistant flowering bush on that end of the island, and then plant daylilies around the perimeter of that and install rock. The large green space, we have a tree that fell in the last windstorm, and there's two more ash trees that haven't made it. We didn't remove them before because they were still green, but they're done. Also removed two locust tree tops that have fallen out. This is down in the water basin between Queen Anne's and Rustburg. But the bittersweet got up to the top of them, and just the weight of the bittersweet broke the tops of the trees out. And then the front entrance, looking to get pricing on pruning the trees properly, get the tops all pruned out. I'm trying to get a quote right now from an electrical company to replace the floodlights with LEDs and have the regulator repaired on the irrigation system. That's it.
Can I ask a question about the front entrance irrigation system? Did you pull that rock up again? That plastic rock? The cover?
No, it's a plastic. Has it been moved?
Well, it looks like somebody was checking it out again.
No.
Yeah, it's up. You can actually, it's not sitting flat on the ground. And that's why I was asking.
Well, it could be the wind. That thing's really, that one is a flagpole.
Mm-hmm.
Really aren't, they're not really fascinating. There's no way that there's places maybe to put like a garden spike or something to hold them in place, but there's never been one installed on
one of them. All right, I just asked. Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Commissioner Metcalf, would you like to go next?
Sure. Drove the city on several occasions. Went to storage area with Mayor Stone on one occasion. Went to post office with Mayor Stone on Fridays. Received a complaint and returned call to a resident at 11901 Halifax about a neighbor 11900 Halifax parking in the driveway without permission. I sent it to Mayor Stone in Milltown City Hall. And Derby City Protection.
Can you speak up a little?
Derby City Protection Activity Report. Parking citation / warning 31.
Wow.
Deputy term 3. Resident complaints 3. Traffic stops 32. Suspicious vehicle 4. Pedestrian stop 9. Code regulation cases open 2.
Now, also Godfrey caught 3 speeders last Friday, 35 and 25 within a matter of minutes on Northumberland. So, good work, Team Tate. Commissioner,
you tell your officers if they ever see a little green heel creeping through the neighborhood, not to pull me over. I'm not a suspicious vehicle. I'm only doing a light check.
Commissioner Babil, next.
There's your weekly light checks on 12, 17, 24, 31, 17, and 114. After I did it on Christmas Eve, that was when I called them about the front entrance lights not working, and then you sent me an email and said those aren't LG&E lights, so I canceled that work order. I sent postcards with the guidelines for disposing of furniture / mattresses to the residents at 11017 Lunenburg, 4309 Arline, 4504, and 4620 Lindenburg Drive. All 4 property had mattresses and box springs on the curb to pick up, and they weren't wrapped up. So, I just continued the water service. On January the 4th, I received a call from Charles McClellan, who lives on Lunenburg, and I received a copy of your email about bulk items not being picked up by a Rumpke. And I
contacted Chris Pierce and Kevin Vernon, who's the route manager at Rumpke, and contacted them on January the 4th. And this is the, I'll read you the reply that I received from the route manager. He said, we had to run a different style of truck to your city on the last service day, which was Saturday, due to the holiday. The truck that we sent is limited to what type of bulk items, loose trash it can pick up. Typically, the driver will call into dispatch and make us aware of anything he can't pick up so we can make other arrangements. Our driver did not make us aware until late Saturday evening when he came in to clock out. Because our drivers are regulated to how many hours they can work a day or a week, we were not able to get the items that were in the pictures that you sent. He said, we did send a truck first thing this morning, that was on the 7th, to clean up anything that was left on Saturday. Sorry for the inconvenience. Like I said earlier, I followed up with Bab about sending out the hidden hazards forms, and I couldn't have gotten through this installation project without her help. Thank you.
Thank you.
The mayor signed the contract, and the installation check has been made out and will be sent in, and that's all I've got to report.
He's not telling the truth about the truck. It was the same old truck that comes out every week and picks up the fence. It has the stuff in the front, and he dumped it out. On Sunday, it was an old Typhoon, because I watched him pick it up. So he's not telling the truth that he sent out a different type of truck.
All right. Thank you.
Well, I don't have any.
But I'm glad the mess got cleaned up.
Thank you, Commissioner Faville. Commissioner Campbell.
On December 22nd and 23rd, they drove the neighborhood to find homes that were decorated for Christmas and then voted in the decorating contest. January 16th, I talked to the two people and then gave the report tonight for the ideas for the fall festival. And I called MSD again about the drainage problem at the intersection of Northumberland Drive and Bay Run Drive. And when they were contacted today, they still gave the completion date of January 31st. So, we will see.
Okay. All right.
He said nothing's changed. It still has a completion date of January 31st.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. All right, last thing. Anybody in the audience got any questions or any final peace of mind they want to put out there?
Yes.
Okay.
When I was trying to find out who the commissioner was in charge of the garbage collection, and I was on the website, there are no names of any commissioners.
No, there isn't.
Why?
Just phone number.
I didn't want to call. I wanted to put it in writing.
It's on the minutes.
Why or not? The commissioner's names. Why are we being so secretive?
I'm not being secretive.
Then why aren't they on the website?
Because we didn't put them on the website.
Can they not be added now?
They can be added, but every time the problem is we have change in commission, okay? For simplicity, the information is on the website. It is on the minutes, which are very lengthy, on the website. I'll just put it that way.
You and Linda got the letter.
What letter?
About complaining on Lindenberg. Why do you think that I sent the letter to the two of you all? Because I knew how to contact her as a
commissioner. Right.
She's not property commissioner.
She's not the property.
No, but I'm the utility.
She's the utility.
No more. Paul should have been the one to get it.
No, why?
That's garbage.
It's garbage. It's his. It's hers.
Oh, okay.
Okay. garbage is hers.
Lights and water and garbage.
Now the property maintenance, Sorry. You got a gutter hanging down, and that's Commissioner Hall. So, yeah, we're. That's another thing.
You should see Commissioner, what the toolbox looks like doing my job.
Yeah. Commissioner Hall's been out checking the neighborhood for problem children, okay? So, anything else?
Yes, I have a couple things.
Okay.
There's a dumpster now on Dickerson Court.
Yes.
Is there a length of time that we can let it sit there and then we start...
As long as it ain't in the street.
Okay.
All right.
And the second thing is, you know, Steve talked about all the tax lien letters that I've produced and mailed out. I have a list here. If it's blue, they got one letter. If it's pink, they got more than one letter. Mm. And you just notice there's an awful lot of color on this list.
Ooh, red.
It was over 200 letters that went out. But, you know, a lot of people have pink on here, so they haven't paid for years.
And so long as it's
so are the ones that are not colored in, have they paid?
They've paid.
Oh, they've paid.
Okay. Yeah. So I just wanted you to know there were a lot of people out there that owe us a lot of money.
And if you get a call from a constituent for any reason concerning the tax letter, okay, I put together an email reply today that I also copied Dan on and Steve. The thing that these people don't understand, even in our letter, it states that they're ultimately responsible for the taxes being paid, okay? But a lot of them think, because they're so used to paying into their escrow, that the escrow letter they got shows that the monies were taken out to pay city tax. What it doesn't show is where it was sent to.
That the city received them.
Yeah. See, from the time we do not send tax bills to mortgage companies. We only send tax bills to the property owners. It's the property owner's responsibility to make sure payments get made. There's no way we could keep track of all the lenders they have out there. Okay? So, if the lender has an old mailing address, it went to the wrong address. It might have came back and it's sitting on some clerk's desk somewhere. Or it got re-put back into their account and they didn't get a notice saying it was re-put back in. Okay. Or when it came in, it got put into the wrong P.O. box. Okay, because our P.O. box has a lot of numbers and we have people with dyslexia, or you know, can transpose numbers. Okay, I'm not gonna say it's a health issue, but I'm just saying I've got dyslexia a lot. Okay, so even then, once it gets into the bank account, okay, and we have got it. Poor Dan sitting here looking at this long list. Now I'm not blaming Dan for anything. I'm just saying there's a lot of hands that this payment passes through. From the time it leaves escrow,
you just tell them, you know, if your escrow in fact approves whether or not it's been paid, we're showing that it's not been paid.
Correct.
So, you know, we mail the tax bill to you. If you didn't get it to your mortgage company, they mail it to the wrong address. You know, that's not a defense, just to say I paid taxes and insurance to my escrow company.
I have never forwarded a tax bill to my mortgage company ever, and my mortgage company always pays it. I'm not on one of those colored lines.
Well, because what they're doing is they're getting a copy of the ordinance.
Yeah.
And they're paying it.
When you close in your house, you're telling them who the mortgage company is.
Right.
And again, here again is cities change companies, all the banking,
right,
and then that. And if the mortgage company's taking the money out, okay, and the people expect them to pay the escrow, then the mortgage company needs to make sure they're getting it to the right mailing address.
Sure.
And they should be, the mortgage company should technically every year be sending the people a letter asking for that information so they make sure it gets mailed to the right place.
Warren Coleman and Glenn C. refused to send their tax, unpaid tax bills for like 4 years. So every house that sold in that interim period that we didn't record a tax lien on, the successive buyers acquire that lien free or tax free.
Right.
So if you buy a property that has an unpaid tax bill where there's no lien, you lose all that tax.
Right.
And they wouldn't do it.
Well, all I can say is we're doing it. And it, just keep in mind, we're picking up the mess, okay? And we're moving forward with cleaning it up. So I just wanted to make that clear so that if you do get approached by anyone, you have an understanding that just because an escrow account doesn't mean that it gets to our mailbox, okay? Because it may have had the wrong address along the way.
I'll say this, this board's doing an excellent job. I mean, I don't live here, but I just know that, you know, with what everybody is doing, with the lighting and the landscaping and all that, it's just tremendous going up. I think you guys have been better.
And I think there's one more question. A dumpster in the driveway can stay there forever?
No.
We don't have any way of enforcing it.
Well, we sent the letter out to somebody on a storage unit in the driveway. He's just stayed there forever.
We sent the letter out, but we can't enforce it. If we had an ordinance right now, we don't have code enforcement, okay? That's why this thing with the rental properties, if somebody wants to appeal it, we're SO.
Are these owned by contractors?
The dumpster?
I have no idea.
We don't have why it's there.
So you wonder why a company's leaving a dumpster there that they could be using elsewhere and making money. So
they're making money while it's sitting there.
Yeah, if they're making money, yeah.
Is it the dog yard?
No. And speaking of code enforcement, why don't we give us a...
Oh, I
put that on your website, and we need three people for our little code enforcement.
We have somebody.
The code enforcement, here's the thing with code enforcement. The code enforcement has time limits. It's not like the ethics board. It's 3 years, 2 years, 1 year. First one gets 3 years, second one gets 2 years, and then it rotates. Okay. Anything else?
I just want to tell you all about the most interesting phone call I've had. A gentleman called me because there is a rooster crowing, and he is upset because it's waking him up. And I referred him to Property Commissioner Hall because he's in charge of crowing roosters.
That's the intended purpose.
We don't have a thing to do with lights or water.
All right. Do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I don't know.
Thank you, Commissioner. Do I hear a second? Carol seconded. Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. 9:28.